Kyler's 1.0 mock draft came out earlier today with the NFL draft just a couple of weeks away. Tyler, we appreciate the time. You have Joe Burrow going number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you think that is a lock at this point, that Joe Burrow is going back home to Ohio to play for the Bengals?
If he was from anywhere but Ohio, it's a lock. If he was anywhere, if it wasn't 30 minutes up the road, if Cincinnati wasn't, I think it was officially 32 miles from where he grew up, then maybe there's a chance he gets traded. Maybe there's a chance that they would actually put the number one pick out there and actually start taking offers. But let's be real. I mean, this is Disney stuff. This is stuff that Heather turns on for her kids. This is stuff you're going to show your kids. These are Disney films that come to an end, where he has a great showing in college. Now the question is, does he hold up his end of the bargain when he gets to the college level? We'll see. But Joe Burrow is number one, padlocked, throw the keys into the ocean. You don't need to even bother with it anymore.
Another thing, according to your mock draft, only three quarterbacks going in the first round. We've heard names like Jordan Love squeaking into the first round. You think, especially with how everything has played out and not having a lot of pro days to go on, that Jordan Love could fall out of the first round when he was being very highly regarded after the combine?
Now, it's just my first one, and it's just the first one for a lot of the people. But here's my thing about Jordan Love, Heather. We talk about Jordan Love so often and just how much of a talent he is and just how fantastic of a quarterback he was his sophomore year at Utah State. Last year, though, it's almost like he took a small step back. And on top of taking the small step back, it was not good to hear about marijuana and some of the issues that kind of bothered him near the end of that season. I mean, just days before Utah State played in their bowl game, what happened? Him and a couple of his teammates got caught. You know, there were no suspensions, but you could kind of almost see that Utah State was a step off in that bowl game loss. As of right now, I don't have Jordan Love as a quarterback, because where are some of the realistic places that he could end up going? The first one, that comes to mind is Miami. I still believe that they're going to be able to stay at five and get Tua. That's where I have the second quarterback going. And it's just, who's going to exactly pay this ultimate price to try to move up to the two spot? We saw the Redskins pay it multiple years ago to get Robert Griffith III. But the question now is there any way Washington can then turn around and get the same asking price from somebody this year out of that number two spot? I think ultimately Washington doesn't get somebody to bite. They end up taking Chase Young. That's when the domino effect obviously occurs. Tua goes five, and then you see Herbert go six. And then you're going to start waiting to see who's going to be that next quarterback. Love, Fromm, Eason. Again, that could change, but through one mock draft, I don't have Jordan Love as one of the first 32 picks.
We're talking to Tyler Ivins from the Starting Lineup on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. What questions do you have about Tua Tagovailoa, who you have going number five to the Miami Dolphins? I have him going there as well in my mock draft, but questions that you might have about Tua with his health status still not completely known.
How much can you tell from just tape? How much can you tell from just somebody else filming at different angles? You know, you'd rather see something in person. You'd rather be able to check something out on your own than just look at the video of it. When you're shopping for a car, you don't just click the little play button on the video and watch the car drive around the mountainside or what it looked like pulling into the showroom parking lot. You want to see with your own eyes what the car looks like. So when you see Tua, which you're not being able to do right now, done due to COVID-19, you want to see how he actually comes off the back foot, how he comes off the front foot, how the hip. I mean, he says he's great. He can look great. Everything can seem great, but there's just some things you want to see with your own eyes. Tua's going to be able to probably check all the other boxes. He's probably going to come across very well-spoken. He's a guy who is going to probably test well in the Wonderlic, very intelligent guy. It's just some of those things that NFL scouts and scouts of other franchises want to be able to hear for their own and see on their own. I mean, to me, and I've said this multiple times on the program in the morning and just casual talking with friends, I believe that Tua will be a better NFL product than Joe Burrow. And it's not just because of there's no way Joe Burrow can hold this up. I just believe when it comes to what Tua has shown on the college level, that there is a chance that just because of longevity, and I'm saying this knowing that he could be a hit away from his career being over. I remember it was 3 years ago. the Darnold draft, you know, Baker and all these guys coming out, what was the one thing that was being said about all these quarterbacks? Josh Rosen probably had the best intangibles ready for the NFL at the time, but because of his injury history at UCLA, he was kind of like paper mache. He was one hit away from being completely done from the NFL. You can say that about a lot of guys, but the question for me is going to be just how long can that hip hold up in the National Football League the first time somebody breaks free on a blitz and gets a hold of Tua. I'm hoping that at least for Miami, and I can't believe I'm saying this as a Jets fan, but Miami does get that guy. They're just kind of a franchise that you hope can find the right guy since Marino, and I think Tua is the right guy for them in the AFC East.
Do you see any big surprises happening in the first round of the draft?
You know what? My big question here is who's going to be that first receiver who's going to start the order? I mean, when you look at my mock draft, the first receiver that I have going is to the Broncos at 8 and C.D. Lamb. My last one being T. Higgins, the local product out of Oak Ridge, going 30 to the Packers. My question is, who's going to be the team that panics because wide receivers start going after the first one gets pulled? Who's going to be that team who actually has to place a call to a team that's sitting in the teens and have to make a jump up to maybe try to get somebody like a Justin Jefferson? The LSU wide receiver, what does he keep saying? He says he's the best wide receiver in the draft, and he's going to continue the kind of the domino effect of LSU wide receivers that shine in the NFL. I want to know who's going to be that guy who ends up trading up too early. And in my personal opinion, and you can see I have Andrew Thomas of Georgia falling all the way to 14 to the Buccaneers. I think he's one of the best offensive tackles in the draft this year. Is he better than Tristan Wirfs? We'll have to see. But I believe that somebody's going to get a really good steal out of the Georgia offensive lineman. And I believe that you're going to see some wide receivers that are perhaps going to be overdrafted. I mean, this will change when more mock drafts come out over the next weeks, number two, number three. But, I mean, like, let me ask a question. Josh, I'll flip it on you. I have Henry Ruggs III going to the Raiders at 12. Now, he reminds me a lot of Darius Hayward Bay. This isn't a joke. This is just more of a, when you look at him and he's kind of a take-it-off-the-top, deep-threat guy, how many guys in the NFL have just been a deep threat that have been able to make it in the NFL and stay in the NFL since Deshaun Jackson? And yes, Jackson stayed for a long time, but not too many guys can just have one intangible or two big pluses to their, you know, to the attributes category, and that's just blow past everybody. My question to you is, do you see anybody out there that is comparable to Henry Ruggs III where he can just blow past people and that's going to be a mainstay in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that receiver question at the top is intriguing. If they were all there, I go back and forth between Lamb and Judy of who I would want the Raiders to take.
Sure.
You have in your mock draft the order Lamb going in the top 10, actually, to the Broncos, and then Ruggs to Las Vegas and Judy after that. I would go probably Lamb, Judy, Ruggs in my order of preference. The speed and the ability that Ruggs has is remarkable. I would say the overall package of what Jerry Jeudy has to offer, I would take him. We're also perhaps splitting hairs because I think all of these guys are really good and have really good potential. But choosing between the two Bama receivers there at the top, I would go Jeudy over Ruggs.
So if I set the number right now at 5.5, over under 5.5 wide receivers taken in the first round, how many? Would you take the over or the under?
Well, right now I take the over. I put 6 in my mock draft. So the first round I have 6 going. And the order is going to be fascinating as well because I put T. Higgins a little bit higher in the order. But you having T. going number 30 I think is a possibility. I'm very confident that T. is a first-round pick. But he still has questions. I mean, his overall strength and size is something that I think NFL teams will wonder about. So if T. Higgins goes in the top 20 to 22 picks, I wouldn't be surprised if he slides a little bit and is the fifth or sixth wide receiver taken. That would not surprise me either, because a lot of it's obviously going to come down to how you evaluate these guys who are all generally well thought of, Heather.
Yeah, and if the Packers are able to get T. Higgins at 30, like Tyler has written out in his draft, that would just be a big win, I think, for that franchise.
It's funny because I just make comments about the Disney ending with Joe Burrow and how Disney would it be for another East Tennessee product to fall to the Packers like Cobb did back in 11 if T. Higgins made it to the Packers at 30. I mean, I know he would just be a rookie, but if you're telling me in 2 years, 2.5 years, that Rodgers would be able to throw to both Devontae Adams and T. Higgins, I mean, that's kind of the wide receiver that they've been missing. And some of the quiet, you know, let's look down the line, what would be some of the perfect made in heaven trades that could be made this year? Green Bay calling up the Cleveland Browns going, you have problems with Odell Beckham. How about we make Odell Beckham our problem now in Green Bay? And the problem is, though, how much they have available payroll-wise trying to put around Aaron Rodgers. Again, just a couple of things to think of. And that's one of those things when I went back and looked at it right before I hit submit the first time, I made two notes. And the first one was Jordan Love, top 32, question mark. And the second note was T. Higgins too low, question mark. So those are two things that I would have to probably reevaluate again before I hit submit next week on the Mock Draft 2.0 that's going to go on the website.
Check out 1.0 right now, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. There'll be more NFL draft talk over the next couple of weeks on the starting lineup as well. Tyler will be there tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. alongside Will West and Eric Kane. How is Kaner, before you go, Tyler, holding up with the bracket and draft talk that you guys have had? Because I've read some of his seedings that he's done with the brackets, and you guys still have some work to do in terms of, you know, guidance, leadership, and teaching of the way things have been.
Yeah, it's not good, Jim. Would you try to explain to him that chicken is also a wing, so putting wings out with also chicken, and that pork is also with ribs, but that's also pork that you can put into the bracket? I think he really sent everybody for a tailspin when he put Django Unchained not in Quentin Tarantino's best 8 films of all time. I mean, and then you have, you know, he is a so-called expert of Star Wars films. The day we put out the Star Wars bracket, my UPS driver rang the doorbell, and usually he just walks away after he rings the doorbell. He waited for me to come to the door only for him to just completely rip apart Eric's seating on the Star Wars bracket. So let's say if Kaner's out there making a name for himself, it's because people are not too happy with how he seeded his brackets. But you know what? He also started a little controversy, and that's okay sometimes too.
Yeah, but we love him. We do, but it sounds like maybe they're just handing out MBAs these days. I don't know. Tyler, we appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us, and look forward to the starting lineup tomorrow morning.
All right, guys. Stay safe. We'll talk soon.